I'll be reading Ephesians 5:15 through 17. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is.
Thank you, Colby. Good morning, church. It is a good morning. Anytime we can come together and spend time together, anytime I get a chance to be with you and worship with you, that is a good morning. This is our last lesson this morning in our apostles and our study of our apostles. One of the things I've enjoyed about this series, it's nice to watch how God takes really ordinary people. It's hard to be more ordinary than most of the apostles. Really ordinary people and use them in extraordinary ways. And that's an encouragement. I hope it's an encouragement to you. It is to me because I'm very ordinary. There's nothing special or unique. It's wonderful to see how God can work His blessing in and with and through really everyday folks like most of us. Today, our lesson takes a little bit different tone because in our last lesson, we're going to look at someone who squandered their opportunities, who missed their opportunity. We're looking at Judas Iscariot. Judas had the same opportunity to be someone who helped shape the church, someone who was a pillar of the early church, someone who we could be reading about to emulate in the 21st century West. He had all the opportunities that the other 11 had, and yet somehow he let those opportunities get away from him. And so while the other 11 are aspirational, we want to be like them. We want to be available when God calls. We want to be usable when God has a purpose. Judas is a word of caution. A word of caution. We can have all the opportunities and all the blessings and all the advantages that others have, and yet we can still let those go to waste. So here's a tragic tale of lost opportunities. And what did Judas lose? Well, number one, Judas squandered his calling. He squandered his calling. We're going to go to John 6 for this one. John chapter 6. We'll start reading in verse 66. John 6, 66. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Then Jesus replied, have I not chosen you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil. He meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, who, though one of the 12, was later to betray him. Let's stop there. So as one of the 12, Jesus gave Judas the same opportunity he gave the 11 other apostles. We don't really have any details about how Jesus called Judas to follow him, but evidently Jesus called and Judas followed. Don't know what he did for a living, but whatever it was, he set it aside to become a follower of Jesus. And he even, to his credit, continued to follow Jesus when things got tough. The passage we just read comes on the heel of Jesus feeding the 5,000. 5,000 men plus women and children. And at this point in Jesus' ministry, he has developed a very large following. 5,000 men plus women and children. And they're there because of his teaching. They come back the second day because of the free food the first day. And, you know, their attitude was, if Moses fed the people in the wilderness for 40 years, surely you can give us 2 days worth of free food. And so Jesus, that's the point where Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me. Jesus intentionally laid a hard teaching on the people. And the scripture that we just read said that from that moment on, many of the disciples no longer followed him. And I think it's kind of interesting that Jesus looks at the 12 as if this is all that's left. And do you want to go too? And it'd be wonderful if Peter had said, absolutely not, we're with you all the way. If he had that speech like he did the night before Jesus was arrested. But instead he goes, we don't know, there's nowhere to go. Almost as though Peter's saying, if we had an option, we might jump on it. But you're the one that has words of life. The 12 were there. Judas was one of them. So he was there when so many others decided this is too tough. He stuck with it, along with the rest of the 12. The sad part is, he wasted his opportunity as an apostle. Verse 71 in the passage we just read, Judas, though one of the 12, was later to betray him. Church, this is somebody who gave their life to Jesus. Whatever it was he did for a living, he walked away from it. Whatever his history was, he walked away from it. He followed Jesus as a disciple. He became one of the trusted 12. He gave Jesus his life. The problem evidently is he didn't give Jesus his heart. And that's where he first started to fail. He didn't give Jesus his heart. He squandered his calling, which is a word of caution for you and me. If we don't give Jesus our hearts, nothing else matters. Jesus said it in Mark chapter 6. He was quoting from Isaiah chapter 29. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Imagine walking in Judas's shoes for just a moment. Jesus calls us. And we don't know what the future holds. We don't know what that calling looks like. We don't know what he's actually saying when he says, follow me. We don't understand all of that, but we understand that Jesus says, follow me, and there's something about us that stirs in our heart, and we follow him, and we give him our life. But we hold back our heart. There have been people throughout the ages that have done magnificent things for the church. There are people who have been generous with their belongings, generous with their money, generous with their time. But if we don't give God our hearts, and what that means is not only am I giving God my time, my talent, my treasures, but first and foremost, I need to give him me. I need to say, I will follow you. And in that word follow, meaning you have mastery over my life. You have mastery over my purpose. You have mastery over my future. All to Jesus, I surrender. I surrender all. Judas surrendered so much, but he didn't surrender the one thing God required, his heart. We must not make the same mistake. So, lesson number one, Judas squandered his calling. Secondly, Judas squandered his ministry. We're going to stay in John. We're going to go to John chapter 12. Judas squandered his ministry. John 12, we'll start in verse 1. Six days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of nard, a pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet, wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages, 200 denarii. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Let's stop there. Judas was part of the ministry to spread the good news. In Mark chapter 6, Mark tells us of Jesus sending out the disciples two by two. He sends them out in six different groups, six different sets. We're not told who Judas was paired with. That would be an interesting thing to know. But he sent them out and he told them that they are to have the power from Jesus to preach, to drive out demons, and to heal many. He told them, he said, don't take a suitcase with you. Don't take your traveler's checks. Don't take your stuff with you. You just go and trust God to provide. So not only were they expected to trust God to provide for them physically, they were expected to trust God to provide for them for this healing miracle that they were involved with, preaching, healing, driving out demons, restoring people. Judas was part of that team. And when the group came back and reported to Jesus all that they had done, Judas was part of that. And so it seems perfectly reasonable to expect that Judas was somebody who preached the gospel, who drove out demons, who healed the sick. So Judas not only had the rare privilege that most human beings never will, only a handful ever did, the rare privilege of walking with Jesus, studying with Jesus, listening to Jesus preach, seeing Jesus perform miracles that confirmed his message, and then participating in that ministry to preach, drive out demons, and heal the sick. And then they came back excited. Jesus, you wouldn't believe what happened, what we were able to do in your power. He's been part of that ministry. But even if we narrow it down to a little smaller focus and just look at him personally, what was his work within the group? And it says he was the keeper of the money. I don't know about you, church, but any time I have ever been anywhere in any organization where there's money pooled together, the keeper of the money is a position that is trusted and honored, and it's a trust that's earned. I don't know of anybody that walks into that organization the very first day and says, I want you to keep the checkbook. I've been here 6 years. I still am not on this account to sign checks. I'm not sure what that says. I'm not sure what that means. I think that means that my elders are protecting me and keeping me safe. Judas was a trusted member of the group. He was a trusted member of the 12. And he abused the trust. He abused and misused the trust. Don't know a whole lot about him. He's Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, John 6:71, we read. Son of Simon Iscariot. We got dad's name. That's all we have. Don't know anything about mom. Iscariot simply means a man from Kerioth. So Judas is the son of Simon, the man from Kerioth, which would suggest that Judas is the only one among the apostles who's not from Galilee, the original 12. But he won the trust of the apostles and was keeper of the money with this honored position, and then he wasted it. He wasted the opportunity. Not only is he a thief, he's a greedy thief, because when this event happens that we read about, when Mary comes and pours this extravagant perfume on Jesus' feet, Judas gets greedy. The green-eyed monster comes to him. And he gives the wonderful platitude, well, this could have been given to the poor. And really, he thought, this would give me more access to more money that I can grab and use for whatever I want to use it for. He wastes his opportunity as a treasurer. Jesus scolds him in verse 7. Basically, leave Mary alone. Some suggest this may have been the point where Judas broke. The straw that broke the camel's back. The final decision to take drastic measures into his own hands. Because what's interesting, in Matthew's account of the gospel, Matthew 26, beginning of verse 14, immediately following this incident we just read about, where Mary uses the perfume, Judas complains, and Jesus tells Judas, stop it. Immediately after that is Judas makes the plan to betray his Savior. He immediately goes and makes the plan. One theory is that he was on the wrong side of Jesus teaching one too many times. And he just didn't fit in, didn't plug in, didn't work out, didn't like being chastised. A second theory is for the reason why he rebelled against Jesus and turned him in, was that he decided that Jesus was the Messiah, and he had a very popular, although wrong, view of what the Messiah was going to be. He was going to be a political king who was going to bring political success to Israel, but he was moving too slow, and so Judas thought he might just move things along by betraying him. Because when the soldiers come to get him, surely then he'll kick into gear and we'll have a war started. Others just thought maybe he was just greedy. Or maybe he decided Jesus was a false Messiah. Not really sure what his thinking is, but he wasted his opportunity. Which is another word of warning for you and me. In Matthew 25, Jesus is in the midst of a string of parables. The kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like this. The kingdom of heaven is like that. And one of the examples he gives in Matthew 25 is like a landowner who's going on a journey, and he entrusts different parts of his estate to different employees, different servants. He gives 5 talents to one, 2 to another, 1 to another. And the idea is that he distributes the responsibility of his estate to his workers, depending on their ability, their talents. And so he goes off and he comes back. And if you're familiar with the story, you know that there are some who bring a return. And he says, well done, good and faithful servant. That's where we hear that phrase. That's what we want to hear when we go stand before God on Judgment Day. Well done, good and faithful servant. The one who brings the 1 talent back, the one that God gave him with no increase, he's chastised, an unfaithful servant. The video that you saw, the video that Devin talked about, the fire that was out here Monday morning, liquid nitrogen tank fire. One tank was caught on fire evidently by lightning, and then it set off 2 more. That video wasn't so we could pat ourselves on the back and look how good we are. That video was excitement by a congregation whom God entrusted with part of his estate. And the excitement was that God looked at this congregation and says, I think I can trust them with this. We're going to have this disaster in their backyard, and we'll just see what they do with it. Jan and I were out of town. Didn't know anything about it until we got a text from somebody going, do you know your backyard's on fire? And so it's not about look at my face, look at my name, look at us. It's not about patting ourselves on the back. It is joy that Jesus decided he could trust this congregation with that part of his estate. There's going to be a community problem that's going to make national news. My sister texted me and said, your church was mentioned by name on the national news. She lives on the western slope of Colorado. That's the other end of the world. And she said, we just heard your church's name. Man in Texas, we heard your church's name. Have a connection there. Can we do something? It's excitement because God said, we trust you. And it's excitement that the church came together to use their time and their talents and treasures. And I remember Jen and I were driving back into town, and it was getting late in the day. And somehow or another, I had in my head that they were going to let the fire burn out. And I thought, this could take days. And if people are kept out of their home, this could take days. Well, I was late to the game. Everybody was here already thought about that. So I was thinking, okay, Red Cross can have showers and bathrooms, and if it lasts long enough, they can bring portable washer and dryers for clothes. We can deal with food. Do we need to go call for cots? Do we need to get Church of Christ Disaster Relief involved? We're just kind of thinking, if this lasts longer. And we finally got into town about 6 o'clock, and I said, well, I think I'm going to go down there, because there have been people who've been there all day, and I thought, well, at least I can do is kind of babysit the place. Well, it was well in hand. They didn't need my help. But what was amazing, what I heard from was, we're here as long as it takes. It wasn't about, my shift is almost over here, and I think I'm about done. Somebody needs to come spell me. It was like, we're here as long as it takes. And what was fascinating was, there were people who were here, and then there were people in the wings saying, when you need me, call me. Those who could and would were here. And if you weren't called and you weren't contacted, that's not a judgment about your willingness or your ability. It's just, this was one of those things that just kind of naturally grew out. But everyone was involved. Everyone was contacted, was plugged in, and there were people in reserve, and they were in for the long haul. And that's not to single out anybody here individually. It's just to say, well done, good and faithful servant. This was an opportunity for this congregation to give glory to God. And this congregation did not disappoint. Judas had an opportunity to give glory to God. And what did he do? He squandered it. He had a ministry. God entrusted Judas with part of the estate, and he squandered it. And since Monday, I've come to read that parable a little differently. Those who brought the return and investment to the master, I always thought that was souls converted to Christ. I still believe that, but I also believe it's glory to God, however God gets glory. And if it's coming here and serving and taking pizza to the police officers who are making a perimeter, or are providing rest for the firefighters, or are making a home for those who are dispelled out of their homes, whatever that is, that's the kingdom increase. And so, yes, we celebrate that. We don't lift up anyone above anybody else, but we celebrate that God trusted us and this congregation lived up to that trust. Well done, good and faithful servant. Judas not only squandered his ministry, but worst and last, he squandered his life. Matthew 27, beginning in verse 1. Early in the morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people came to the decision to put Jesus to death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 silver coins to the chief priests and the elders. "I have sinned," he said, "for I betrayed innocent blood." "What is that to us?" they replied. "That's your responsibility." So Judas threw the money into the temple and left. Then he went away and hanged himself. The chief priests picked up the coins and said, "It's against the law to put this into the treasury since it's blood money." So they decided to use the money to buy the potter's field as a burial place for the foreigners. That is why it has been called the field of blood to this day. Then what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. They took the 30 silver coins, the price set on him by the people of Israel, and they used them to buy the potter's field as the Lord commanded me. We'll stop there. Imagine being Judas's mom and dad, Simon and Simon's wife. Mom and dad had high hopes for their boy. The name Judas means Jehovah leads. And so when Judas was born, mom and dad looked at that child and they said, "We want this child to be led by God. And we're going to give him a name that calls him every time he hears the name to be led by God." They had high hopes for their boy. They thought he could be someone who lived a life of glory to God. And Judas took this rare opportunity that God gave him and wasted it. How many people who have ever lived can say they walked with Jesus? How many people can say they've had dinner with Jesus, they've listened to Jesus preach in person? How many people get to say that? And Judas is one of them. One of a tiny, tiny minority. And Jesus never treated Judas with anything other than love and respect. He never belittled Judas. He never mistreated Judas. He never treated him like a second-class citizen. In fact, even when he's being betrayed, Luke 22, verse 48, Luke records Jesus' words, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" He had a rare opportunity, and he wasted it. He wasted it because he chose to love something, to give his heart to something or someone other than Jesus. Whether it's money, some people say national pride, whether it's arrogance, whatever it was, he gave his heart to someone or something other than Jesus, and therefore he wasted his life. He could have gone down in history as a leader in the Lord's church, and instead he goes down as the betrayer. And there's a warning for you and me. We must not squander our lives. And church, you and I live in a self-centered society. We're surrounded by messages of what we deserve. I deserve to be happy. I deserve a good career. I deserve a nice salary. I deserve influence. I deserve power. I deserve success. I deserve romance. I deserve national pride. And God has a warning for us. Jesus speaks a warning to you and me. And it's recorded in Luke 14. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife, his children, his brothers and sisters, yet even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry or bear his cross and follow me cannot Be my disciple. Church, we're called not to claim what we deserve, but to carry a cross. To live a life of sacrificial service to our Savior, the one who gave his life for us. Anything less is squandering our life. So here's a takeaway that we're going to take a positive look at it. The church needs people. Unlike Judas, who make the most of their God-given opportunities. Church needs people to make the most of their God-given opportunities. Church, every day that you and I are on this planet, every hour that you and I are alive, every breath we take, all of this is an opportunity to trust in God. All of it's an opportunity to show that we love God, that we've given him not only our lives, but we've given him our hearts. It's an opportunity to show God that we are grateful when he gives us an opportunity to serve. We're grateful to be a servant to whom he entrusts part of his estate. And we're grateful, and we will make the most of the opportunities by the power and the glory of God to give him the glory. And yeah, sometimes that'll mean news reporters and people with a camera and microphone in your mouth. But it always means service to God, doing things God's way to give God the glory. And I am impressed and proud to be part of a congregation that God said, I'm going to trust you with this. And to see how the congregation rose to the occasion. Let us not be individuals who lose our opportunity, who squander our opportunities. God's blessed us so richly. Let us be people who faithfully administer the part of the kingdom that God has given us as a collective body of believers in this congregation. If you're a visitor in your home congregation, if you don't have a congregation, please find one. And we'd love, if you're here, if you make yourself part of this congregation. But even as individuals, we must not stand before God and hear, you wasted your opportunity, you squandered it. Let's be people who make the most of God's opportunities. So that when we stand before him, we hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into your Father's rest. We're going to stand and sing. That's our invitation to you. If there's some way this church can serve you, won't you tell us how? Maybe you'd like to spend time in God's Word to see what his plan is for your life. Maybe you'd like to see if this is a church home that you would be comfortable in, that you could belong and learn and serve. And maybe there's something else on your heart. If there's any way this church can serve you, won't you tell us how? Let's stand. Let's sing.
It's so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know. Thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust thee, precious. us, Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
We have one more song before being dismissed in a prayer. Thank you for everyone being here this morning.
They tried my Lord and Master with no one to defend. Within the halls of Pilate he stood without friend. I'll be a friend to Jesus, my life for him I'll spend. I'll be a friend to Jesus until my
so thankful unto you for your love, your kindness, and your blessings, Father. We are thankful for this congregation of your church. And Father, we thank you for the health that you have granted us today that we are able to be here and to worship you upon this, the first day of the week. And again, Father, we are mindful of those that are dealing with health issues. We pray for healing for them. We pray for comfort for their families. And Father, we are mindful of Eddie as he travels to MD Anderson. Father, we pray that you would bless him, that his journey there and back will be safe. And we pray that he will receive a good report from his doctors. And Father, as we are dismissed now, we pray that you will keep us safe. May we all be mindful that we have service again this evening. We offer this prayer in your name, Jesus. Amen.